This is Prince Brijo by Andrew Lang. Chapter 1. How the Fairies Were Not Invited to Court. Once upon a time, there reigned in Pantouflia a king and a queen. With almost everything else to make them happy, they wanted one thing. They had no children. This vexed the king even more than the queen, who was very clever and learned, and who had hated dolls when she was a child. However, she too, in spite of all the books she read and all the pictures she painted, would have been glad enough to be the mother of a little prince. The king was anxious to consult the fairies, but the queen would not hear of such a thing. She did not believe in fairies. She said that they had never existed, and that she maintained though the history of the royal family was full of chapters about nothing else. Well, at long and at last, they had a little boy who was generally regarded as the finest baby that had ever been seen. Even Her Majesty herself remarked that, though she could never believe all the courtiers told her, yet he certainly was a fine child, a very fine child. Now the time drew near for the christening party, and the king and queen were sitting at breakfast in their summer parlor talking it over. It was a splendid room, hung with portraits of the royal ancestors. There was Cinderella, the grandmother of the reigning monarch, with her little foot in her glass slipper thrust out before her. There was the Marquis de Carabra, who, as everyone knows, was raised to the throne as prince consort after his marriage with the daughter of the king of the period. On the arm of the throne was seated his celebrated cat, wearing boots. There, too, was a portrait of a beautiful lady, sound asleep. This was Madame la Belle, au bois dormant, also an ancestress of the royal family. Many other pictures of celebrated persons were hanging on the walls. "You have asked all the right people, my dear," said the king. "Everyone who should be asked," answered the queen. "People are so touchy on these occasions," said His Majesty. "You have not forgotten any of our aunts?" "No, the old cats," replied the queen, for the king's aunts were old-fashioned and did not approve of her, and she knew it. "They are very kind old ladies in their way," said the king, "and were nice to me when I was a boy." Then he waited a little, and remarked, "The fairies, of course you have invited?" "It has always been usual in our family on an occasion like this, and I think we have neglected them a little of late." "How can you be so absurd?" cried the queen. "How often must I tell you that there are no fairies? And even if there were, but no matter, pray let us drop the subject." "They are very old friends of our family, my dear, that's all," said the king timidly. "Often and often they have been godmothers to us. One in particular was most kind and most serviceable to Cinderella the First, my own grandmother." "Your grandmother," interrupted Her Majesty. "Fiddle-dee-dee, if anyone puts such nonsense into the head of my little Prigio." But here the baby was brought in by the nurse, and the queen almost devoured it with kisses. And so the fairies were not invited. It was an extraordinary thing, but none of the nobles could come to the christening party when they learned that the fairies had not been asked. Some were abroad, several were ill, a few were in prison among the Saracens, others were captives in the dens of the ogres. The end of it was that the king and queen had to sit down alone, one at each end of a very long table arrayed with plates and glasses for 100 guests who never came. "Any soup, my dear?" shouted the king through a speaking trumpet, when suddenly the air was filled with a sound like the rustling of wings of birds. Flitter, flitter, flutter, went the noise, and when the queen looked up, lo and behold, on every seat was a lovely fairy, dressed in green, each with a most interesting-looking parcel in her hand. Don't you like opening parcels? The king did, and he was most friendly and polite to the fairies. But the queen, though she saw them distinctly, took no notice of them. You see, she did not believe in fairies, nor in her own eyes, when she saw them. So she talked across the fairies to the king, just as if they had not been there, but the king behaved as politely as if they were real, which, of course, they were. When dinner was over, and when the nurse had brought in the baby, all the fairies gave him the most magnificent presents. One offered a purse, which could never be empty, and one a pair of 7-leagued boots, and another a cap of darkness that nobody might see the prince when he put it on, and another a wishing cap, and another a carpet on which, when he sat, he was carried wherever he wished to find himself. Another made him beautiful forever, and another brave, and another lucky. But the last fairy of all, a cross old thing, crept up and said, "My child, you shall be too clever." This fairy's gift would have pleased the queen if she had believed in it, more than anything else, because she was so clever herself. But she took no notice at all, and all the fairies went each to her own country, and none of them stayed there at the palace, where nobody believed in them except the king a little. But the queen tossed all their nice boots and caps, carpets, purses, swords, and all, away into a dark lumber room, for, of course, she thought they were all nonsense, and merely old rubbish out of books or pantomime properties.